Let's turn back to 129. That's 129 in the spiral book. And also, I was gonna tell you, Becky's my sister, and she's been in several car wrecks lately and hurt her back. And she's in bad shape. So you just remember that Becky's my sister. Have you been baptized into the body? Have you been baptized into the body? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. There is but one way to enter in it, just as they did on Pentecost. Are you in the church triumphant? Are you in? Baptized into the body and forevermore abide. There is but one church, bride, or body, and into it we're all baptized by the one true promise, Holy Spirit, though by the world we're all despised. Church triumphant, are you in the Savior's bride? Come and be baptized into the body and forevermore abide. Well, every creed has claimed to be in the body, but the plumb line proved untrue. All their dreams for God were so determined to bring His Son's true bride to view. Oh, are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Oh, come and be baptized into the body. Body, till the Holy Ghost had come, when the Word of God was open to them, they entered in, and yet there's room. Oh, are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Oh, come and be baptized. Body and forevermore abide. Those who died before the Holy Spirit came upon us from on high, made by faith with saints of old departed, arise to meet Him in the sky. Church triumphant, are you in the Savior's bride? Oh, come and be baptized into the body and forevermore abide. When the bridegroom comes, will you be ready and your vessel all filled and bright? You will be among the foolish virgins if you do not walk in the light. Oh, are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Oh, come and be baptized into the body and forevermore abide. Body and forever.
you happy about that this morning? Brother Mark, if you'd like to come receive the offering tithes this morning.
Father God, we come one more time to meet you under the shed blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Pray that you bless the tithes and the offerings and all the givers today, Father God. Bless the services today, Father, when you send for your precious glory. Pray that you continue to anoint and strengthen Brother Sam, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Father, condescending down to our level, Father, to bring us where we can understand your word. Amen. Forgive us of all sin and all iniquity, Father, by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let's look down at the bottom of page 130. This is like heaven to me. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. We crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. When I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't like it, I see. But I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt, and that's what's the matter with me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.
If he'll come in response to the reading, everyone will stand.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. A blessed time to be in the house of the Lord again. So we just thank him. Ask that it just touch us and provide for us such as we have need. Amen. We're going to read from Psalm 86, verses 1 through 17. I want to thank Brother Anderson and Brother Richard for doctoring on my glasses so I can see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, and thankful this day for this privilege and opportunity you have given us, Lord, to come together to worship. Lord, let us surrender our hearts and minds unto you, Lord, that we may receive the blessings that you have for us. Lord, help us when we think that we come against a problem that we can't face, we can't go through with. Lord, let us just yield ourselves unto you that you will guide us, Father. And we thank you. Remember those in Sunday school classes. Remember the pastor, Father, he prays to bring forth unto us that which you have given unto him. God, wherever we are, let us always keep you upon our hearts and mind and love one to another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 86. Bow down thy ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy.
Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee.
Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily.
Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, I lift up the necks of my soul.
For thou art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
You hear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend
In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me.
Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works.
All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone.
Teach me the way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name.
I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell.
O God, the crowd arises against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them.
But thou, O Lord, art a God, full of compassion, the gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid.
Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has helped me and comforted me. God bless us. Be seated.
Let's look across the page there, 133.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and bound as could be, but my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when He reached down His hand. Since I made Him my choice, from the tempest to Him, now I flee. Now I lean on His arm, for I'm secure from all harm, since He reached down His hand for me. When He reached reach down his hand for me. He had to reach way down for me. For I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me. Since the Lord gave me peace, heavenly joys never cease. Lord, I give all my life unto Thee. Guide my feet, hold my hand, grant with me that I may stand. For You reach down Your hand for me. When he reached down his hand for me, he had to reach way down for me. For I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me.
Wonderful day, wasn't it? Let's look at 138. On Christ the solid rock I stand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come, with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let's turn over to 141. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, 6 at the cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that same for such a worm as I? Oh, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Well, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Away.
the day.
Amen. Let's all stand. We'll change order of service. Ready to hear the word this morning? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Into his word, you'll find him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scripture, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Mark 4. Ephesians 1, Mark 4. We had a real good time last night at the fellowship meeting. I think there was about 25 present, so we had a good turnout, you know, from here. And we really appreciate him. We're down to a beginning of a month. We don't have any announcements, so I don't reckon we have anything. Just remember the banquet, the Valentine's banquet. Remember that on the 13th of February, so we get ready to go and have everything. Okay? Ephesians 1. Remember to pray for, I know you have, but pray for Sister Gibby's daddy. Said he was in bad shape, so remember him this morning as you pray. All right, Ephesians 1 and Mark 4. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your love and your understanding, Father, of each one of us. Thank you for being you and changing not. In that way, then, we can depend on it. And, Lord, we just ask you to bless and guide each one of us in your love, that, Lord, we may walk in the light of your grace. And, Father, forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to walk upright in your love. Be with each one, Lord. Remember Sister Gibby's dad there, Lord, and coming down to the last hours, and just bless him, take care of him. Bless the family, Lord, and be with them all and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ephesians, we've been reading this one for quite a while. Very familiar. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, what, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now we've asked you to read the parables, or read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the parables of the kingdom. So then let's read this one, and he's already given the parable part. So we'll go to Mark 4:11 and read a little bit. But I want you to notice it, and then we're going to go back over it to make sure you hold a point. Now he's given the parable to the 12. They ask him about the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Like I said, we used to be taught that, God spoke in parables to make it so simple we could understand it. Yeah, we got Mark 11. All right. And then in doing it, he says he spoke in mysteries to hide it. Not that, you know, to hide it from the wise and prudent. See, so we were totally off to begin with. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing you may see and not perceive, and hearing they may, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? Now watch him. Let's read, I'm using this one because listen to the wording. Know you not this parable? The parable of the kingdom. Now what does he say? And how then will you know all parables if you don't understand this one? Is that what he's saying? If you don't understand this parable, how will you know? Know you not this parable? Question. And how then will you know all parables? Another question. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, what? For the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, what? Such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, in Luke, we'll read it on this parable. It says, there's the ones that keep the word. We'll read that in a minute. Matthew 13:23, and to those that understandeth.
Yeah. That was in the,
okay. Yeah, that was one I wanted to. All right. Now, We say, well, we've heard that. My mind goes back now to the many days and times that, you know, we heard the parables explained. And that's what I said. We even back there, even though we could read it, but yet we still thought that God spoke in parables to make it simple so that we could understand it. But he didn't say that. He said he spoke in parables to hide it. Well, you know, we ought to get that part straight. All right? But we've heard the story of the seeds. We've heard the story of the planting. We've heard the stories of all of the things. And we've heard the cares of life done this and this done that and this done that, you know. We've been through all of those things. But did we consider that the parable was always speaking of the Word? The Word.
Amen.
Right? Brother Brown says on Satan's Eden that every word of God is a seed.
Right. Amen.
Right. What is the seed of God? It's the Word of God.
Amen.
All right? Now, God doesn't have, as we call human terminologies we use, he doesn't have seeds like we have. He really only has one seed. He doesn't have seeds plural. He has one seed, which is his Word. All right? Well, we take the parables and we say, oh, we understand that. But do we? Do we understand it? Even though we know and can quote, as I said, you go to anywhere in the country today and you'd hear a denominational preacher somewhere around the world today, probably no telling how many of them are reading this scripture and preaching the parables and the thing. But how many of them is talking about the Word of God? Or are they just, that's the word they use or a thought they use? Now you know what I'm saying is true. You sit and listen to those things to be explained by preachers as to, they explained all of this about how this one happened, the stony ground happened, and all of this. But did you ever consider that if that seed in any form ever came up, that it would have to be a germatized seed?
Amen.
Right?
Right.
You go out and you buy seed, you know, and it's about 98, it's the best you can do. I mean, that's really great, but it's probably about 70, 80% germination in your seed that you plant. And if there's no germination in that corn that you put in the ground, it's not going to come up. But now, I don't want you to forget this point. That's the reason I'm making it up front, and then we'll back up, go through the message. There is nothing wrong in any of the parables with the Word. There's nothing wrong with that that they call the seed. The Word. It's what happens to the Word. See, so you can't go into your, you know, you take your natural store. Well, it comes up on stony ground. It comes up on this. It comes up and because of lack of earth. And but just remember, if it started in any form to come up, that corn, beans, whatever you planted would have to have the germ of life. Is that sensible now? I mean, that's just plain common sense. You can read that out of Webster's dictionary or go on your internet and look up germatized and, you know, and things. But what do we do about that in the Word? You know, bring it over to where we're at in the Word. Well, what it is, you hear the Word, and this happened, and that, yeah, and you're right. And you hear the Word, and it starts a process. All right? And in starting that process, it can be finalized in the finishing or quickening. But just remember one thing. The corn you plant, the put it in the ground doesn't germinate it. It has to be already germinated or germatized. The germ of life. All right? See, then taking the Word of God, you got to approach it just a little bit different. Than you do of the natural seed. That's the question we'll be dealing with all day today. What makes the Word of God to be a germatized seed? Now, before you run your computers and your brains and flipping and flopping, or you start thinking, I want to make some statements. Then if you get the wrong idea about what I'm saying, come back to the first of the message. All right? See, because you cannot use the natural seed and the doings as a perfect example of the spiritual. All right? You say, well, why can't you? Well, how does this Word become germinated? That's what I ended Wednesday night asking or saying. And I can tell you in a hurry, the devil fought this message, so go ahead. I went to chiropractor Wednesday, bud, and he worked on my back a little bit and the shoulder, and I felt real good. And Thursday and Friday and yesterday, my back has been out, and I've been in excruciating, or how you say that word, awful pain ever since then. But you know what? It didn't stop me from going to the fellowship meeting yesterday. You say, I just didn't feel like going. I would have swapped with anybody in the building yesterday of the pain that I was in. But I suffered it, and I went, and I received. But I didn't talk to everybody about it, because when this boy has pain, nobody knows it. My wife can only say my back's out when she sees it twisted. Because I'm not no baby in the basis of this, and I'm not calling you babies. I'm just calling you a little childish. Okay. Just a little childish. Everybody likes to be petted. You come in, how you doing? Oh, well, I ain't feeling too good. Yeah, come on. All human beings want to be petted. I do too. All of us want to. But there's two things, this man, you don't know. You don't know when I'm in pain. Because why brag on the pain? And you never know when you hurt my feelings. Because my expression will never change. There's two things. You've been told for 40 years. That's right. Yep. All right. But, see, I'm just saying, the devil fought it. If anybody had a justifiable wife said today, because she knows I've been in that vibrating chair about three times already this morning, she said, why don't you just stay at home? I said, that's exactly what the devil wants. You know, and about the time that the church would start without me, I'd start feeling better. Come on, lay out and see if it don't work. Okay. All right. Remember these statements. There's nothing wrong with the Word.
Amen.
It's what you do with it that determines whether it's going to be worth anything or not. See, then our ideas upon the Word. It cannot be pure, right? Am I right? Our ideas upon the Word, it can't be pure. So then what would it do to the Word? Our ideas. What does our ideas do to the Word of God? We used to have the idea that you got baptized in the name of the Lord, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, didn't we? Right. We thought that's right. We swore by that, didn't we? But you know what? That perverted the Word. Right? Because it's not true. The way it was used. What the Word says is right. There's nothing wrong with Matthew 28:19. The wrong is when you don't take Acts 2:38 and they come together and see that the correct way to baptize is what? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So Jesus was right and Peter was right. We took four classes, our son, this past Wednesday on the points of expressing the new birth. See, Paul can't explain it one way, Peter another way, Jesus another way, and Brother Branham another way. So now if we're going to believe Brother Branham to be who he was, then we have to go to him for the correct understanding, and we don't... Now listen to what I'm saying, because you know I stick with the Word. You know that. But you go to the Word, you got your own idea. Right? What's the idea of the people of this message about the new birth? Where do you hear them preach it anymore? Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Where do you hear that? Oh, he's just born again. And you believe the message. You see how easy it is to deform the Word. Right? But you know what? When it's all in final analysis, the Word is right. That's the point number one. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. It's our understanding placed upon that word or seed. Right? And Jesus said, my words are what? They are spirit and they're life. Now watch that in a minute as we get to it. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. My word is alive. There has never been a word spoken from the mouth of God that was not a germatized seed. Amen. But what about the hearer? What about the hearer of the word that takes a word and twists it to say what we want it to say? Remember, nothing wrong with the word. Come on, it's in the parables. You read it, Matthew 13:37. That the Son of Man is the sower of the seed. Amen. There's never been a seed sown without the Son of Man. Amen. That's where the mystery that even Paul and them couldn't follow. They didn't understand. Because Paul never spoke of the Son of Man. I ain't saying he didn't understand a lot. I said he didn't put it in his writings. Peter or none of them after 3.5 years with the Son of Man. In their writings never mentioned the Son of Man. See, no wonder, as I said, Nicodemus couldn't understand. And see, no wonder in this day that organized religion people back when Brother Branham's day could not follow the man. Why? Because he'd never been taught that. Nicodemus had never been taught anything about a regeneration, a doing, or anything. It was not in their teachings. It was so perverted in our day until when Brother Branham would come forth and say things. They didn't understand him, did they? Why? I like what the scripture says about the Lord Jesus, and I believe it about Brother Branham's ministry. It said, no man ever spake like this man. See, why is it that all the way down through there, you had nothing through the ages? You had nothing through Paul, Peter, James, John, the writers of the New Testament, about the Son of Man. But all at once, here comes a little man out on the Ohio River. With what? Sixth grade education or third grade or whatever, just a, you know, common grade school educational, barely able to read. And he starts talking about the Son of Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, now don't. See, don't go off on me. Just listen. You could read, and anybody can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he's going to hear Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man, right? Am I right? So don't think I'm that dumb, see. I make human mistakes. Like I did the other day when I said that Moses never said, thus saith the Lord. Well, I'm glad it was brought to my attention. He said it about 8 times. It was the point I was trying to get across. I will tell you this much. Maybe you don't read a lot. I love to read and think about what people are saying. Now, suppose you got a book, and you want to have that book. Now, it's come from somewhere else, you know. It's not yours. You're not writing it. But you get a book. You find a book. How do you learn whether it's authentic or not? How many of you know? How do you learn whether a book is authentic or not? Call me a foolish answer. Foolish answer. You know how you check a book to see whether it's authentic or not? By how many mistakes is in it. Because you see, now you got your corrector. See, sometimes when you make mistakes, you make people think. I'm not kidding. That's the way you check an authentic old book that you have, is they know it's correct, they know it's more real by the human error statements that are made. So sometimes it ain't too bad to make some, as long as you correct them. All right. But now listen. They never spoke of the Son of Man. But Jesus, in that parable there in Matthew, he says the Son of Man is the sower of the seed. Amen. Well, now, Brother Dale, you just don't understand. You don't understand, because it was Son of Man, and then it was Son of Man there in Jesus, and now it's the Son of God. And then they will pick up a little bit to say, well, Son of Man coming on. That's kind of what you call narrow-minded. As a brother was saying last night, making a good little message thought about buying an old car, and the first thing he done was just jerked all the plug wires off and all the vacuum hoses. He just drug it all off, and then he started trying to figure out how to get it back. Well, I'm sorry. He went through all of it and fixing it. Finally got it to running. Well, praise the Lord. We heard a message on how to fix a car. That was before the preacher started. Yeah. I just got up and made one statement. I said, brother, where you made your mistake was that we're not talking about reformation, we're talking about restoration. Well, you know what you do if you buy something that you don't know? The brother, one of them got up later and said, you take a picture. Well, what's the best way to change spark plugs and plug wires and distributor cap? One one at a time. If you change your distributor cap, you go get your distributor cap and you take off one plug, you put it exactly lined the way it's supposed to be. You lay that right on top. You let the wire hang down. And then you just take off one and you take out one spark plug and you change everything. That's restoration. Reformation is throwing it all away and then trying to figure out for hundreds of years how to get it back together. Is that what happened? Well, see, if it is stuck with a blueprint, you don't have to have a blueprint. I don't. If I got something, if I see that thing put together and it's right, I don't need a blueprint. I just need to look at the picture. Restoration is to restore exactly original. If it was original to start with. And if not, then now you got all of your things to go to. But an old shade tree mechanic knows better than jerk off all the plug wire. It'll mess up things. Right? But I just said, we're not in Reformation. We're in restoration. But who down through there understood anywhere, do you understand how the Son of Man is the sower of the seed? You realize that on the day of Pentecost, Brother Brown makes the statement, right? He said he died Son of Man, said he rose Son of God. Is that right? Now, put that in the right perspective. You know that he died Son of Man and he rose Son of Man. Same way it went down, come back up. But he never come on the day of Pentecost as Son of Man. He come on the day of Pentecost as Son of God. Brother Brown's right. He knows what he's talking about. But you see, down through the ages, it's always been the only sower of the seed. That's why I ask you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know that all Peter said come out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know that all that John said come out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All that Paul said, even though maybe he didn't read, as we call it, you know, because it wasn't in letter form. But it come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The things that we were told is just simple. You know, right? I mean, you ask a person, say, well, give me some meat out of the Word of God. You know what I mean? Give me something deep. Where are they going? They're not going to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They want to go to the book of Revelation. They want to go to the Thessalonians. Or they want to go to this. They want to go. But you know that everything is hinged on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You know that Brother Branham, in explaining it, said what? That the Holy Ghost came because of, putting in my words, because of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being fulfilled. You know, ain't it kind of odd? Let's put it down to where you can follow it. You know, it's kind of odd that John wrote Matthew wrote six seals in Matthew 24. But yeah, we don't want Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's just simple things. We understand that. The sower, the seeds, and the whatever. Well, we're real good, ain't we? What does it mean to, in the natural, your germinating of the seed is really in the year prior or in whatever they're doing to make it, you know. In other words, you got to pollinate the corn, you got to do the thing. And then it comes up in the, out to an ear of corn. And when it does, within there is the germ of life, right? So it's really prior to the year before bringing it over is the germinating of that seed that you finally plant. This year was raised last year, you know, months ago or whatever, processes. But what about the Word of God? Whenever Word of God is a seed, Jesus said so That's on paragraph 83 of Satan's Eden. See, every word then is a germinated seed, as long as it's not tampered with man. So there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed in every case, whether it was stony, took it down, or whether it was this, or the curse of life, or this, or that, or the other. Whatever it is, it's still the seed. And you know, when anyone is speaking by revelation, I'm saying my words the way I want it. When you are speaking by revelation, the seeds you're planting will be perfectly true. I said it the way I meant it, and I meant it the way I said it. When you're speaking by revelation, when you're speaking by your own concept, you got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in water baptism as the way you're going. I'll take what Jesus said over what Peter said. Boy, that's wonderful. You've really whoop-de-doo and straightened out everything, haven't you? What about the 300 preachers that sit and listen to Brother Branham explaining the water baptism and things? And all of them, even one said, I want 100, is that the wording of you? I want so many tapes, I'm going to send it to all of my preachers. He said never a one came back. But they couldn't argue with him. Why? Because the word was true. Then you better not argue. The main thing is arguing over... Listen now, here's me. Okay, this is Brother Dale. They wasn't afraid of arguing over the letter of the word. They was afraid of that angel of the Lord that stood beside of him. Right? They wasn't afraid about the arguing. They'd been arguing about the word all their life. And when Brother Branham said that to them, they went on the rest of their life arguing about the letter of the word. Not a one of them, he said, came back. Now, I've always been kind of carnal, I know, but I've always told you the way I am. If somebody gets up in the pulpit and says, well, this is what we're supposed to believe, and this is what we're supposed to believe, you know, even about Brother Branham or whatever, and if I differ with him, I won't jump up. But I don't want him sticking his finger out and saying, if you want to say anything different, come on. Because I'll get up and go. Now, here's the way I finish it. I mean, he knows the way I finish that statement. Because if I won't do that, you get up and throw me up there. Because I'm death in the pot. That's 40 years of preaching. I've always told you that. If I won't stand for this message, well, I didn't want to hurt or feel it. No, you're scared. You're afraid of where you're standing. Get me, throw me up there and say, down the platform. Because that's what you said. You taught us this way, now die for it. But I've never had no problems yet, okay? Now, the Son of Man is the sower of the seed, so what he sowed in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John is what Peter, James, John, and him took to bring down to personal things in the later writings. Right? In the things that they taught. Had to every bit relate back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe that'll encourage you to read that over and over. And not think, well, now come on. I know the human mind. I got one. It don't work too good, but I got one. I know what you think. You say, well, where do we want to turn in the Bible to read? Well, I don't read Matthew, Mark, Luke. I haven't read that. I don't read that. I don't turn over here. Now, why don't you be honest enough to admit that's true? Because the only way you can ever be anything with God is to be honest about what you're saying. I'm honest with you. Until God revealed the things he did to me about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, I was the same identical way. But you know what now? If I need anything, I don't have to go to Peter or to Jude or to Corinthians. I can go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you understand? Just because we call it Son of God doesn't mean the Son of Man's word is not still going on. I hope you followed that a while ago, but if you don't, okay. Now listen. So every word of God, as far as God is concerned, is a germatized seed. And to the speaker of that word, now, if it's true revelation, he's speaking from his own experience of revelation. Now, we've got to say, if it's right now, because you know what I mean. This is my revelation. I believe it's three gods. And I get up to heaven, and there ain't three of them up there. I'm going to leave. You ever heard that? Oh, that's wonderful, ain't it? Maybe you made that statement. Okay. That's what hurts feelings. But listen, folks. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. It's what we do with it. There was nothing wrong with any of the stages that the Lord Jesus gave about the seed being the Word. He wasn't talking about planting beans and corn. That's a natural story. Remember, the natural is a type of the spiritual. So thereby the natural is not always exactly as the spiritual. Now that stumbled a lot of people. The natural story, but I got Brother Branham where he said the natural is a type of the spiritual. Well, wonderful. Now, I'd like for you to take the four horse riders in the book of Revelation, and I'd like for you to go from white to red and make that white and red to be black, and then white and red and black to be pale. That's the most sensible one out of all of them because that's pretty well colors. But I'd like for you to take white and red and make me black paint. See, everything in the natural is not exactly according to the spiritual because it's a type. That's why the Old Testament was a type of what the New Testament was the fulfillment of. That's why in the Old Testament they could not have the new birth. Because they were only in a type or a shadow. So are you following what I mean? Here's what I mean. Corn is germinated the year before. It is not germinated to put it in the ground. Neither is the Word of God germinated because you claim to believe it. Right? Let's start from that point. Because you see what I'm talking about. Been talking about for 31 sermons. Everybody in the message says, oh, Brother Brown says we always was eternal. Now what about where he said that adoption 1956, you begin your eternal life right here at the altar. Here's where you start eternity. Oh, you start eternity right here. Then you are born again, the Son of God. I ask this question over and over. And listen, may I state it? May I say it this way? I believe what the prophet said about eternal life. I believe what the prophet said about eternal life. I just don't believe interpretations of man. I believe when Brother Brown said, you came here with a seed in you. I believe that. I believe when Brother Brown said, you come here with a seed in you. That's in case he was asleep on the first time I said it. I believe what he said. But I don't believe man's interpretation of what that means. Well, what do you mean, Brother Dale? Brother Brown said, I come here with eternal life. I just come here with eternal life. Boy, that's really something, man. And you got a whole Bible behind you that says, born in sin, saved in iniquity, spouse your mother's womb to be a liar. You got all Brother Brown says about every one of us, including himself, being born to hybrid. About all the things he would speak of us being lifeless, dead. But I asked a simple question. If you come here as people think it, with eternal life, why did Jesus die? Right. I thought he died to release eternal life that you and I could receive. So then Brother Branham must be saying something that our interpretation of that is not correct. When he says you're born with a seed in you, I only know of one seed that God has, and that's his word. So that means you were born with a word in you. Well, you said the other day that everybody had a... Yeah. I know how people can use my statements against me. But you use them wrong, that's your business. I try to make them as right as I can. I believe what Brother Brown said, we come here with a seed. But you know, there's a statement where Brother Brown said that they say we say this, but said it is also written. Is that scripture? It is also written. Brother Brown said, you come here with a seed. It's also written. The seed was put in before the foundation of the world. That's what he said. So now we're going back to physical preexistence. Whatever that it would be in, if you're going that way, would be physical existence. You see why we don't think it's like I told you. We went to that meeting with that ministers, and they invited us to come speak on Daniel 70 weeks. We went there and we spoke upon it. And come to find it out of probably 30 preachers, none of them, hardly maybe a handful, had a drawing Brother Branham had made. Some of them didn't even have a book. But they knew all about it. And we quoted to him where Brother Branham said, seven times in the Daniel 70 weeks book that there's 1 week left. After the rapture. But people don't want that. Why? Because somebody said. See? They won't read the book. He says, quoting him out of it, he said, you can't understand the seals and the things without understanding Daniel 70 weeks. But everybody knows all about the seals, know all about the thing, but nobody knows anything about Daniel 70 weeks. You see what I'm doing? You see that where we stand as basically alone in the part of trying to express the message and believing that Brother Branham was right? Oh, we use it on Spoken Words Original Seed where it says, pick up your pen and write. Why don't you read the book of Daniel 70 weeks book where Brother Branham says, the Lord, this is what the Lord put on his pen, something paraphrasing it. It's close to the same wording, to write. But because of what we've been taught, I believe Brother Branham knowed exactly what he was talking about. And if he didn't, heaven help any of us to try to correct him. Well, why can't you at least say what he said? Oh, this one brother, he come up with this great because he come behind us. He come up, he made a drawing of his own. And it was so contrary to Brother Branham's drawing until everybody else rebuked him about it. Said, that ain't what Brother Branham even drawed. It didn't matter to him. It's what he believed. Well, I always thought Brother Branham was a prophet. I didn't argue and fuss. We just left and said, believe what you want to. Okay. What are you getting at? Getting at a point that I believe is very vital to understanding the Word of God. I may not tap it just a little this morning, but the main thing is, how does the Word of God become germinated? Now, I didn't say made alive in a new birth. I said, how does the Word of God become germinated? Well, you just told us that it was all germinated. Now, we go back to the prophet. We go back to the Bible. What about Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6 that says the letter killeth? They can throw that in if they like to, number 2. The letter killeth. Jumped a good bit in the message to the ones in the room, now they know it. The letter killeth. Now we're supposed to be able ministers of the New Testament. Watch. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why? Why are we supposed to be ministers? That ain't just people. I mean, that ain't just preachers, right? That's everybody, right? Of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why? For the letter killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. You know, I've heard people argue where Brother Branham says, don't teach the word, preach it. You ever heard that one? Brother Branham said that. You know, don't teach the word, preach it. And yet he was constantly saying, I'm teaching this service. What's he saying? Is he saying the fivefold ministry teacher is to be put out because he's teaching? How about all the times he said he was teaching? What is he saying? Don't just teach the letter. That's what they do in college. Right? Teach you this way. Of course, one college teaches one way, another college teaches another way, another college teaches. I'm talking about denominational, you know, right? And how about the colleges of this message? Is it doing away with the fivefold ministry teacher because you can say it's got to be in power and demonstration? I believe that. I believe Brother Brandon would stand up there in those messages and teach that message, and that was power and demonstration, don't you? I don't have to go out and do the signs and the wonders to be called power and demonstration to me. Because you know what I'm fixing to say. When Brother Moat told me Brother Brandon was a prophet, I said, tell me what he taught, and I'll know whether he was a prophet or not. Well, because that was supposed to be the way of a prophet. All right? So the letter killeth. How many people, how many of you sitting here, when you first heard this message, were really killed? Now, I don't mean a lot of times it's true. I mean sometimes the people that tried to teach you was killing you. Remember, may I quote Brother Branham? He said, the one that used to be the name of Christian, paraphrasing it, he said, turned out to be the persecutors. What about when you first heard of the message? What did you hear? Some is just blunt. Walk up, shake hands. You believe God sent a prophet? How many doctrines you got in the message that they say if you don't believe their way? So you see what it is to say the letter killeth? The letter in itself is dead letters. I'm quoting Brother Branham that I got right here laying in front of me, so don't. Dead letters on a book. Yeah, but I don't care. I'm just going to say what he says. Right. Look what he says, and you've heard this one over and over, but look what he says on the message. There's a man that can turn on the lights, which is number three in you. You've heard this one over and over. 1963, 1229, paragraph 74, 75. So life is only by the word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what is spoke of being manifest. Then that is light on the word. He bring it on up. We'll read it down to the bottom. It will never bring forth life without what? There's no light there. So as the light strikes it, then it'll bring forth the life if it's a germatized seed. That's the same thing it is in the word. Now he's explaining natural, right? But are you reading it? If it's a germatized seed, that's all I'm asking you this morning. This afternoon, that's all I'll ask. If I don't finish, I'll finish Wednesday, next Sunday, next year. What is a germatized seed? How does the Word of God become germatized? Now, I've told it. The Son of Man sowing the seed, it was alive to him. If a person is preaching to you by revelation, true revelation of the Word of God, then that person, the Word is alive in their heart. But it's not in yours.
Right?
See? If it's a germatized seed. Hey, I can read scriptures too. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, number 4, if I'm going to pull it up. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now what's Paul saying? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. See, to Paul, when Paul was writing these writings, Romans, Galatians, etc., the writings, Hebrews and Galatians, to him that was alive. Right? From God. Let me give you a little quicker where you can understand it. Surely you'd understand that John on the Isle of Patmos got the book of Revelation straight from God and wrote it down. Surely you'd follow that one if you don't follow Paul. That to John was alive. But what about the world reading the book of Revelations? I told you about my brother-in-law, it's a Baptist preacher. He still thinks it's that big old animal. Rise up on the ocean. I don't make fun of him. That's his belief. But what's wrong? I mean, we all read Matthew 28, 19 and Acts 2, 38 before we heard of the prophet's message, right? Right? Well, how come we couldn't see the correct way to baptize? Because the letters on the page was killing us. Right? You could read Acts. I remember Brother Tatum talking about that. He said he'd read over here. And he said, he'd read over here late about this. And he said, I was all confused. You know. See, because it's letters on a page. Right? Now, I cautioned you the other day, don't go too far with what I say on things. Don't try to make me carnal to say the Bible is not the Bible. That's where your stupidity will come in. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe every word of God in this Bible is inspired. May I quote Brother Branham? Even the D-ands and the butts, he said, is in the right place. But yet he was the one that says this word don't mean this, it means this. Was he correcting? No, he was amplifying it. Understanding of our day. But look at Paul. He said, our gospel came not unto you in word only. Because he was the guy that wrote over here that the letter killeth. So he knew that natural words. Come on, have you ever seen something? I mean, really see something, God reveals something to you, and you're just on fire. You hadn't seen it before. It's right in the letters of the page. It's been there ever since it was written, but you didn't see it. And you ever done it? And you ever run down to the neighbor or somebody else, maybe an hour later or 30 minutes later? I got something I want to explain to you. And it's done gone. You don't even know what it says. You can't even find it in the pages. You know what I mean? Because I'm the worst member for Scripture. I have to depend upon quarters. I'm not a... If you ask me to quote John 3:16, I have trouble. I don't know, Joe. But let me say this much to you. Where's the Lord's Prayer? Where's that? What does it start off with? The Lord's Prayer is not our Father which art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer is in John. Because he's praying. Then when he says, teach us to pray, we are to pray, our Father which art in heaven. Okay. Listen. What about a prophet, though, saying it like this about the Bible, as much as you know it? Go ahead and pull number five. We'll get a couple, then we'll break off to this evening. From the Message, Why I'm Praying for the Sick, 1954. And look what he says. Not just teach the word, but preach. Make manifest the word. The word has to be made alive. It's a dead letter until it's made manifest. Now, may I back up in the parable? And it is quickened, it's brought to the pass. May I back up in your parable? A sower sowed the seed. Now, maybe the first part that doesn't mention the doing the brain. But as you progress in the parable, it begins to say that it was in stony ground and it sprang up. Why did it die? Heat, curse of life, etc., etc., etc. But I ask you the same question, why did it die? Was anything wrong with what said? Why did it die? We're talking about the Word of God. We ain't talking about planting corn. Corn comes up, and the grass, and the rocks, and the weeds, and the sun preaching. We're not talking about that. Why did it die? Brother Moak told me this statement years, many years ago. He said, when I first got saved, he said, I saw water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm quoting Brother Moak, so this is from memory for 50 years ago almost. He said, you know what? He said, they took that out of me. That's his wording. What happened to you when you went to somebody and started talking to them about water baptism? And they started explaining the whole thing to you and just took away all you had. You had a wonderful situation because you started with the Word of God. But you didn't have it into a part where it says made manifest. What about it? What about Brother Branham when he says what? Not just teach the Word. Make manifest the Word. The Word has to be made alive. It's a dead letter until it's made manifest. Right. What about the next one? This is off of Divine Love, which is number 6. And I just cut this to where it would have to have the whole page. We're giving them the what now? I'm afraid tonight, as I say it with respect and reverence, I'm afraid we're giving the church the wrong kind of schooling. We're giving them the schooling from the dead letter. And not from an experimentalist standpoint of the new birth to meet the true and living resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So that you can give the dead letter. Right. May I quote another one with that one? Brother Brown said, I don't think we're getting them to Christ. We're getting them to a doctrine. Dead letter. What about your prophet calling that? A dead letter. Let's see if we can read these couple and then we'll quit. Go ahead and get number 6A. I added these to them later. So I went to Mark of the Beast, 1956, E48. How'd you do it? Your heart is a womb. You know, womb, W-O-M-B. I know my language is poor, sorry. Take what I mean, not what I say. You know what I'm speaking of, women and men? Your heart is a womb. And the womb holds a seed. And the seed is the gospel. Now, the seed alone in its heart, no matter how many grammaias, you know what I mean, teachers, etc., you sit under, no matter how great your pastor is, and how much you've read the Bible, it'll never take life until the germ of life has come to it. I was running a little late a while ago. Because you see, I kind of put this and wrote my notes and laid it down. And didn't think on it, just leaving it. Right. And I started running. I wish you would run in on your computer this germatized seed. And see how many times Brother Brown said, if it's a germatized seed, it'll live. But if it's not, it won't live. What about it? Look at number 6B, the absolute 62:12-30. Now you take a grain of wheat, a pretty grain of wheat, but it can no do nothing. Let's see, make sure that's on there. Can no do nothing It's dead until the germ comes into it. Then it produces many grains of wheat. Now, we're still right on that statement. How does it become germatized? We're not talking about the corn, the beans, the potatoes. They were germatized last year when they come forth and the pollen was put to it and made it grow the corn. I've explained it over and over and over. Every word of God is a seed. The sower, it is germatized to the sower. But to the person, they hear it as letters, as reading any other book. You don't spell cat in the Bible and spell cat in another book different. And it can be questioned as long as it lays there. But now Brother Branham is talking about, that's what I tried to explain to the two soul people years ago and they wouldn't listen. You ever looked at Brother Branham talking about a gene? You ever looked at what he says about a germ? You ever looked at what he says about a germatized seed? You ever looked at what he said about a germ of life? Have you ever looked about what makes it an alive word is not the germatized seed? It is the life or water that quickens, the Holy Spirit that makes alive, but it's got to become germatized first. Right? Well, I just don't understand you. You just can't. No, honey, I ain't confusing you. Your dead letter on what you think is what's confusing you. Your concept of things, you know, is what's confusing you. I made a statement Wednesday and it was asked to, and I run it off where I could find it. The Bible says, there in Corinthians, to turn such as one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, or the devil, which one of the words it uses there. And see, we went through all of those things, and there's many quotes where Brother Branham says, turn them over to the devil. But see, people don't keep reading. They don't take plain sense into mind. Who would give you the authority to turn someone over to the devil? Well, God gave it to me. Yeah, that's what you think. And that scares people to death. That preacher's got power to turn us over. We better line up. Well, maybe it ought to scare us. But why don't you keep reading? Pull that one up, if you would, brothers, on why we are not a denomination. 1958. While they're getting it full up, because it's not a numbered quote now. So, well, we're not a denomination. He's talking about nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong with Leo. It's the devil got between us. Get the thing straightened out. Go to him. Then if I won't listen, or I won't listen, whichever way it is, then tell it to the church. If he don't come to be reconciled to that church in 30 days, then he's brought under from under the protection of Jesus. We loose him. Oh, yeah, that's what we're going to watch. That's exactly right. Then watch what takes place. Let God do the discipline then. See, we want to beat daylights out of him, scare him to death, and make him come back to church. Right? Now what? It says, you got your hands off. You done the best you could do. What? By getting together, trying to settle it, trying to get it straightened out, and then give it 30 days. Right? Now watch. then let God have him for a little bit. He'll turn him over to the devil. He will come then. If he don't, his life is just a short span. Why don't people keep reading till they find those things? Then it all fits. Because the church has to get together, to do, and you have to go through certain channels, you have to do certain things, and then when you do, then you can lose the person. But see, we got it all figured out. But see, you got the letter that's killing. Because you preachers out there are trying your best to scare people into coming to your church. I'm trying my best to scare this group of people into leaving. In the rapture. Okay. In the rapture. But you see, we got it all in the letter. Well, the Bible says, turn such as one over to Satan for the destruction. We've got the interpretation of what that says by the prophet's message. You turn him over to God, he turns him over to the devil. Now you got it in perfect order. Because like I was explaining the other day, you loose me and you out here and you doing these things, and I'm at home praying, God, forgive me. Straighten me up on that, Lord. And forgive them for being kind of hateful about it. Some way, just bring it all together. Now, how is the devil going to jump on the person when the person's not only praying for themselves to be forgiven, praying for the people that... Don't you think I'd kind of fit into where Stephen would be, you know? Lord, forgive him. But you see, this is what I've always believed. Well, why are we here? 50 years after the prophet left. You don't never think that away. Why are we here? Evidently, things must not be in exactly the right place, because may I quote it again, which I always quote, what? That Brother Brown said he didn't see but one thing holding off the coming of the Lord, and what that was, remember? The readiness of the bride. Well, you know, readiness might not consist of making sure we got all of our clothes washed, you know what I mean? It might mean to find out that we've got some doctrines that are wrong. Because that's the one thing God doesn't like, is wrong doctrine. Dirty clothes, he can wash. Oh, you want scripture? We've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You want scripture? He doesn't see our quotes from Brother Branham. He doesn't see you and me. He sees our sacrifice. Does that mean we can get by with it? No, because there's two judgments set, one for the deeds done in the body, the other one is a white throne, two entirely different ones. Come on, we're getting all of it together. But what does it take to make a germatized seed? What does it take to make the word that you hear germatized? Because if it ain't germatized, the Holy Ghost can pour out all it wants to. May I quote Brother Branham? You can be anointed on what? Your spirit. Every day of your life. With the genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit. And die and go to hell. Now, what's the difference in you than the other person that has took the word and followed it to the letter? Maybe make our lives ashamed of ourselves. But why wasn't it quickened to them? Why would Brother Branham pick out a little woman and said, see how that seed could work its way right down into that woman? What seed? What word worked down into that woman? We know. Is that future home? I believe it's right, isn't it? Where the prophet said, She had just a little understanding of the word. We know when the Messiah cometh. See, right then, that word was germatized. But it was not a new birth because she had to wait till Pentecost. Now you've got a lot to consider. A germatized seed is wonderful, but remember, a germatized seed, it is the word of God. But yet you can take it and lose it. You can be justified and sanctified and die and go to hell, folks. Come on. That's germatized seed. What does it take to make it a germatized seed? Well, the water just poured. See, you know all about it, don't you? What made the corn? Because you put it in the ground? No. It had to be germatized seed or it won't come up, period. Right. The germatized seed. Why does Brother Branham say it? You remember my favorite one? True prophets bring true births. False prophets bring false births. Then we'll take up this evening. And come on, musician. Ending or begin with a thought that Brother Branham said, you did not become seed by the new birth. You were seed and could be quickened to life. What about it? What about it, folks? But we know all about it. Could it be that what we have, and I'm going to make this statement for myself, all right, so I'll make it for myself. I would to God, how many times have you ever heard me say this? I would to God that what I had in my brain was a germatized seed. And I would to God that what I had in my brain was made totally alive. Would you be willing to think about that? No, when it comes into me, bless God, it's alive. Well, why is there so many false doctrines? You know, everybody claims it's made alive. Like I said, not the Baptist church. All these doctrines, God is that confused in writing the word? Come on, what do we got? Let's stand just a minute. We'll
151.
Let's just sing a verse or two. If anybody has a need, the altar's open.
I'm one of them. In my one of them. Seed, or is it dead land?